Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Did anybody manage to walk or run across the water down here this afternoon? Okay. Probably created a monster here, but like I've got all these people coming up. Can you give us a shout out, whatever? And I'm like trying to keep track of all these because I want to make sure that nobody gets forgotten here. So I've got all these written down here. And as I'm looking at this, what you got to understand is I grew up, like I went to high school and college during the 1990s because I'm so old. And so like I'm looking at all of these, and it was in high school and a little bit in college. Like I listened to quite a bit of like rap music in the 90s. It was pretty common for a lot of these guys when they would get to the end of like a certain song, and if they had like 30 seconds to kill, then they would start going through these like shout outs of all these people they would know, and they'd be like, oh, shout out to my guys up in the Bronx, and shout out to my guys on 125th, and shout out to my guys over on this island, blah blah. And so they would go through all this stuff. So I'm looking through this list, and I was like, I almost feel like I needed a beat to read through it, but let's run through this list. All right, here we go. First of all, shout out to Gemma for the super cool painting that you gave to me. That was super cool of you. Shout out to Judson 2B. Yeah! Shout out to Evergreen 4. Yeah! Shout out to Woodlands 1 with the best. Hee-hee. And shout out to Evergreen 5. Yeah! Maple Ridge 2. Yeah! Evergreen 6. I told you it was a long list. Juddy 4A. Juddy 4A. Let's see. Lost my spot here. Maple Ridge 1. Sutton. Scarlet. Rylan. Okay. Rickery 2. And Ethan Sloan. Hashtag Big Dog. All right. That was right? Big Dog? Okay. Quinn Camp, your friends told me to do that, Quinn. All right. Shout out to Leo with his 4 hole-in-ones this afternoon down on the putt-putt. All right, this next one, don't sleep on this next one. Shout out to Graham Central Station Ice Cream down there. Getting it done. If you haven't done it, do it. Shout out to Charles E's missing water bottle. Okay. Shout out to Charles's missing water bottle. And here we go. Last one. Last but certainly not least. Where is Alexa in Woodlands 2? Alexa made a very important decision to start following Jesus yesterday. All right. Alexa, you realize that the slogan for Miracle Camp is the place where lives are changed. There you go. I mean, that's part of the deal. You're going to make a bunch of decisions this week. That will be the best decision that you make. Good job. Awesome. Way to go. All right. That's it for shout outs for today. All right. Now, let's do some recap. Did I miss you guys? I'll get you guys tomorrow morning. All right. I still love y'all. I didn't mean to forget about you. Okay, let's do some recap. First word. Second word. Third word. Thank you. Fourth word. Humility. Fifth word. Perseverance. Sixth word. Selfless. I got ahead of y'all. All right. Good job. Let's pick it up. Here we go. Chapter 3. 11 verses, bunch of stuff going on in here. Again, old guy, needs lighting to read what's going on. Here we go, chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Whatever happens, meaning all the stuff that Paul just talked about, Timothy, Epaphroditus, his own health, if I die, if I live, whatever. Whatever happens, dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved, for we who worship God, worship by the Spirit of God, are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. We got a lot of stuff going on in there. And I realize it's girls' night, guys' night, so we're going to do our best to get done, to get you guys out. So, this might be one of those nights where I'm talking real fast. So try to pay attention, try to keep up. All right, are we good? Are we good? Okay, is it not girls' night, guys' night tonight? Okay, all right, here we go. Shh. All right, focus. Focus. A lot of this stuff may have been confusing to you. That's okay. All right. Chill. Paul is basically telling the Philippians in this letter that they need to watch out for a group of people who call themselves Jesus followers, but they are requiring people to do extra stuff to say that they are following Jesus. So, when the whole church was first getting started, you had people who were starting out as followers of what was called like the Jewish law or the Old Testament law, and then they started following Jesus. But then we had some other people that they started talking to about Jesus, and they didn't grow up knowing the Jewish law. And so what some of these people would do is say, well, you've got to know all of the Jewish law and keep all of that first before we can let you start following Jesus. It's kind of like you all can't take algebra in school unless you've already taken pre-algebra. So they were giving these requirements for things, and Paul's not having it. And it's funny because Paul grew up obeying all these laws and following all these laws before he started following Jesus. But he's like, we don't have to do that anymore. That was the whole reason Jesus came to earth and kept every law and didn't commit any sins and still died to save all of us. He's like, Jesus fulfilled all that stuff, so you don't have to keep all these laws now. You can just show up clean and start following Jesus. Does that make sense? He's like, watch out for these people, because that's not what God is requiring of us anymore. They're trying to put extra rules on you, and that's not okay. But then Paul almost gets a little bit sarcastic here by saying, but if we're going to have a comparison on who's done more and who has a greater list of accomplishments in their life to follow Jesus, then I've got more than any of y'all. This isn't the only time he's ever done this in the New Testament. Sometimes Paul can get a little worked up when people are trying to like put extra rules on people and be like, you're not as righteous as we are. And Paul's just like, well, if we're playing that game, then check this out. And then he pulls out his big list of accomplishments. He's like, let me tell you some of my accomplishments. And that gets us into question one, which is always. All right. And so our phrase for tonight for question number one with what is the goat. The goat. All right. Now, you know what I'm talking about when we say the goat, right? We put it in all capitals. The goat is the greatest of all time. This is like become a thing over the past few years where we'll just apply this phrase, the goat, standing for greatest of all time, in whatever. And we'll talk about these things, we'll debate these things. And so now Paul kind of in a way here is going to talk about how he thinks he's kind of the goat, but the danger in us talking about something being the goat, regardless of what it is that not everybody always agrees with what the goat is. Would you agree with that? That not everybody always agrees on what the goat is? I have students in my class. I have heard this over the past few years. I've had students who will debate / argue what the goat is of such things like chicken. I almost inadvertently started a riot in my eighth grade class, not this year, but the previous year, when I had a student who said, Mr. Clark, don't you think Raising Cane's is the best? And I said, it's all right. And they were like, what? So I had students who like were ready to like walk out of class because I didn't agree with them on Raising Cane's as being the goat. What's the goat of chicken? A bunch of y'all are probably going to say chicken. Right. Right. See? Do you see what's going on? Do you see what's going on? All right, for the record, it's Popeyes. All right. I said what I said. Okay. I've also, all right. Do you see? Do you see what happens when we have these conversations? Everybody's got an opinion, a very spirited, passionate opinion on these things. I've heard them debate what's the best pizza. Now, I think it depends on where you live. Where are my Michigan people? Yeah! All right. Now, I don't know where you live in Michigan. But my experience, the best pizza in Michigan is Buddy's Pizza, which is over in Detroit. Yeah! Super good. Buddy's is awesome. Now, Indiana people. Controversial take. I think the best pizza in Indiana is at Pizza King. All right. Illinois. The goat of pizza in Illinois is Giordano's. So, do you see? So, all right, see? Do you see how this, okay, Ohio, all right. I'm gonna give you two choices. One's a little more statewide, one's a little more concentrated. The statewide one is Donato's. That's your goat pizza. So for my Northwest Ohio people. All right. Now I'm gonna probably name a place that none of y'all have even been to. And it's down towards Toledo. And it's called Halftime Pizza. It's Halftime Pizza, and if you've had it, it's the goat. So, all right. See? Now listen. Do you see? When we start throwing around things like the greatest of all time, not everybody's in agreement. So let's talk about some other. Of course, we can't get through this without talking about sports. Now, right. Okay. All right. Now. Hey. All right, we'll walk through it because I realize that not every, now listen, I didn't create this, and I'm not saying I completely agree with it. I was just saying, did somebody put like a picture together of who they consider to be like the greatest of all time in different sports? So let's kind of walk through it. Obviously, this is like AI. They weren't able to get all these people together because Babe Ruth has been dead since 1948. So here we go. So down front, the greatest in golf, a lot of people would say it's Tiger Woods. But some people would say something else. Back here, who is this, the hockey player? Who is it? Wayne Gretzky. Back behind Wayne Gretzky is Serena Williams for tennis. Then right next to Serena Williams in the Yankees uniform, that's Babe Ruth. That's where I would disagree. That's where I would disagree. Okay, down front in the middle, soccer. All right. Now. All right. Who's back behind Messi here? Muhammad Ali. Greatest boxer of all time. Right next to Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan. Right here, Tom Brady. So, okay. All right. See, we all have spirited opinions. Now, What if we were all in agreement? What if we were all in agreement on the greatest of all time for camps? All right. See? I knew we could agree on one. I'm not kidding, you all. Real quick side story here. I went to church camp one time in my life. Do you know why I only went one time? Because my camp wasn't like this. If my camp was like this, I would have gone every year. But I went one time. The camp was terrible. It was 850,000 degrees that week. There was no air conditioning at the camp. Y'all don't know how good you have it here. We slept on like the world's nastiest, like most uncomfortable mattresses in big cinder block buildings and didn't have any kind of delicious food like you guys have down there. So anyway, this place here is the goat of the camps. So, all right. So here's the deal. All right. So let's keep moving here. When we make statements about being the GOAT, we try to use facts to back that stuff up, or we try to use some sort of argument to support it. We don't just say this thing is the best around or the best of all time. And they'll be like, why? And you're like, cuz, just because. Like, you'll normally come up with a reason behind it. And so that's where we get to Paul, who's going to run through his list of things. Okay, so if you guys still have your Bibles open, all right. Stick with me here. If you guys still have your Bibles open, take a look at, I believe that is verse 3. At verse 3, Paul starts running through his list. So, the first thing he lists is he says, look, if you guys are going to make a big thing like circumcision be a big deal, he goes, I was circumcised on the eighth day, which was according to Moses' law when he got it from God. That's when all male babies were to be circumcised. So he's just like, I did that before any of y'all. And then he goes, and I was also a pure-blooded citizen of Israel, which means, like, I can trace it all the way back. Like, my parents were Jews, and their parents were Jews, and their parents were Jews, and on and on and on and on. He's like, so you're not going to get more Hebrew than I am. And then he says, I'm also from the tribe of Benjamin. And again, if we don't know Israel's story, that might go right over our heads. But Benjamin has a big role in God's story because Benjamin supplied the first king of Israel, whose name was Saul. So he's just like, look, not only am I like pure-blooded Israel, like, I'm also from the tribe that gave us the very first king. So what he's doing is he's just like pulling out all of these things that he's just like, look, I've done this, I got this, I got this, I got this. He says, I was a member of the Pharisees. And this is like being part of like the elite five-star group of like Bible nerds, scholars, the guys who knew all the stuff about the scripture, and they knew like so much that they began to probably be like a little bit overbearing on other people, to the point that they would walk around and they would wait to find somebody who wasn't following God's law exactly correct, and they would point it out and tell you how bad you were for violating that. That's why Jesus would get into so many disagreements with these guys. So he's just like, look, I'm the elite of the elite of the elite. And he says, I was so zealous for God's law that I persecuted the church. We read about that in the book of Acts, where Paul, at the time, he was called Saul, and he was having people thrown in jail for following Jesus. He was having people stoned to death for following Jesus. He was not a good dude. But he's saying, look, if we're talking about all of our accomplishments, then I think I've got a better resume than any of you guys, if we're going to make this a thing. He's just like, you don't want any of this smoke because my resume is better than yours. So he goes through all of that, and then after he lists all these things, look what he says in verse 7 and 8. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Jesus has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. So it's almost like he's putting a dollar sign or a price tag on it. He's like, look, all this stuff that I did, compared to the infinite value that Jesus did, meaning we can't put a price tag on what Jesus did for us. He's just like, this doesn't even matter compared to what Jesus did. And then he goes one step further, and he's just like, all this stuff that I once thought was valuable, I now think it's garbage. So he doesn't even say it's worthless. He goes one step further and says, it's garbage. Meaning, it's not worth having around. It's the stuff that we throw away. It's the stuff that we leave out once or twice a week, depending on your trash arrangement in your town. It's the stuff that smells. It's the stuff that the flies buzz around. It's the stuff that if you leave it for too long, all kinds of nasty stuff goes wrong with it. And Paul says, all this stuff that I once thought was valuable, I think is garbage now. That's what I think of this whole idea that says you have to do this, you have to follow these rules, you have to do this stuff in order to follow Jesus. He's just like, man, I did all that stuff and it's garbage. So that kind of leads us to, he's kind of given us the answer to question number two, which is always, so what? Because Paul is saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know. It's not what you know, it's who you know. It's no longer about, did I follow all of the rules? Did I keep everything correct? Did I observe all of the special observances in the Old Testament? Did I keep the Sabbath? Did I not break any of these commandments? Did I do anything? Paul's like, that stuff is done, man. It's not what you know, it's who you know. He goes through that whole list of qualifications and then says it's worthless compared to what Jesus did. So why should we care? Because we can have all of the perks in this life. We can have all of the awards. We can have all of the smarts about God. We can know everything that's going on in the Bible. But if we don't know Jesus, meaning if we don't spend time with Jesus, if we don't have an active relationship with Jesus, then what does it matter what we know? What does it matter how much time we have spent reading the scripture this past week or praying? If we don't spend any time with Jesus, if we don't have this personal connection with Him, if we're not in communion or having communication with Him, like we put all these questions up this past week, Jesus, show me where I can be selfless. Jesus, show me where I can persevere through something. Jesus, show me where I can live through a tough spot in my life. If Jesus is trying to give us those answers and we're not listening, then what's the point? What's the point to this stuff? Paul says there's more value in knowing Jesus than any of this other stuff. This kind of takes us back to this whole question of motivation. What's my goal for doing what I'm doing? What's my goal for studying the Bible? What's my goal for praying? Is it to benefit me or is it to simply know who Jesus is? I've told my students this before when we get into these kind of matters in class, that I say, hey, you guys are in 7th and 8th grade right now, and I say, it is possible for you to go the next 4 years here at this school, not get in any sort of trouble, do 100% on all of your Bible verses. We have a dress code at Lakeland, so I always joke about, you didn't have any dress code violations, you didn't have any tardies, you didn't get any detentions, you did A work on all of your classes, you did well in Bible class. It's possible for you to do all these things, get your diploma when you graduate high school, walk off the stage, and still be rotten inside. Because all we did was focus on the external stuff and making sure that we followed these rules and did things right. But if we did it with the wrong heart and the wrong motivation, then what was the point in doing any of it? Do you kind of see what we're saying here? This is kind of what Paul's saying. He's like, who cares about this stuff at this point? You either know Jesus or you don't. And then Paul ramps it up by saying he wants to know Jesus to the point that if it costs him his life, then he's like, that's like the ultimate prize of knowing Jesus. So he's not trying to like go out and get himself killed actively. He's just saying, look, I'm going to talk about Jesus. We've already seen some of this earlier in this letter. I'm going to talk about Jesus, and if my life happens to end because of it, game on. That is like the ultimate goal. He's like, you can't know Jesus any more than to suffer the same way that he suffered. And he's like, if that's what I end up getting, that is fantastic. Then I will truly know what it meant for Jesus to suffer and die and also be resurrected. Like, he's like, that's the one thing on my resume that I want. Which is kind of crazy, or it sounds crazy to us, where it's like, dude, how about you just like live a normal life and like die of old age or something like most people do? And Paul's just like, no, I'm going to keep doing this. And if it costs me my life, then that's the coolest. But that just sounds weird to us. So it's not what you know or how much you know, but it's who you know. Is my time in God's word, is my time in prayer, is this simply for information or is it for transformation? Is it so that I am being changed more and more into Jesus, being changed more and more into the likeness of Christ? That's what Paul is going for. Now, here's what you can't do with this. I don't think any of y'all would, but if I don't say it, you can't take this idea of it's not what you know, it's who you know. You can't take this and then start school up here in a few weeks, and then when it's time to like study for your first math test, you'll be like, well, I don't really need to study this math test because it's not what I know, it's who I know, and I know Jesus, and Jesus isn't concerned about my math. Wrong. Jesus is concerned about your math. Jesus is concerned about you doing the thing that you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. And if you're supposed to be studying for math, that's what Jesus wants you to do. And also, if that's your attitude and you happen to be brave enough to say that out loud to a parent, let me know how that goes for you. Let me know how that works out for you. Don't you have like a test tomorrow? Yeah, but it's like that old guy at camp said, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And I know Jesus, so I'm good. Yeah, that's not going to go over well for you. So, and that's also a selfish motivation, and Jesus does not approve of that either. So, make sure that you don't take this and twist it to be like, well, I don't really need to do well in school because I know Jesus. Okay, you guys still with me? All right, that's going to take us to question number three, which is always, now what? What do I do with this? What do I do with this? Now, we've talked a lot about the book of Philippians this week, and we've thrown a lot of words, and we've talked about things about, are we humbling ourselves about things? Are we putting other people first? Are we having joy? Are we living in spite of tough circumstances? And so the question, like, I no doubt that at the end of the week, because of how well you guys have listened and how well you guys have picked up on this stuff, you could walk whatever adult comes to pick you up, you could walk them through Philippians. Even if you couldn't say it word for word, you could say, this is kind of the gist of the letter. But the question that we always need to be asking ourselves is, Jesus, how is what I'm learning drawing me closer to you? How is the stuff that I'm learning here, or the stuff that you're going to learn when you go back home? If that's in youth group, if that's on Sunday mornings, if that's in just your own personal time in God's Word, how is the stuff that I'm learning drawing me closer to you? And some days it may not feel like that, and that's okay, but eventually we're going to have to start saying, well, Jesus, how is this transforming me more into being like you? And if you can't answer that, then maybe you need to shift your focus as far as like either what you're praying or what you're reading or what you're studying and say, Jesus, I want this to be able to change me from the inside out. So how is the stuff that I'm learning drawing me closer to you? That's our question. When we say it's not necessarily what you know, but it's who you know. And so how is the stuff that I'm studying or learning drawing me closer to you? So I think we have our worship team is going to close us out here before you guys are released. As they're coming up to play this final song, I'm going to pray, and then they're going to lead us in worship here. So let's all pray together. God, it's been fun to go back and forth with this group when we talk about what's the greatest pizza of all time, or who's the greatest soccer player of all time, or who's the greatest basketball player of all time. And these are fun. They should be fun. Sometimes they can get heated. Sometimes we can get really passionate about these silly things. But God, that we would never say that our accomplishments are what qualify us to be in a relationship with you. That we would never say, well, I have more right to be a follower of Jesus because I go to church more in a week than you do, or I spend more time in my Bible than you do. These are good things, but you have made it available for all of us. And so, God, that we would remember that it is not what we know, but it's who we know. And then for the things that we do know, how are those things drawing us closer to you? These are the real questions that we should be asking ourselves. So God, continue to draw us closer to you by your Spirit and by the things that we are learning, not just this week, but even as we go forth from this place back to wherever we live, and continue to say, how are these things drawing me closer to you? That's the important question we should be asking ourselves. So God, speak to our hearts and receive our worship now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.